All right, here we go. Gotta get this going. Good morning, children. It was morning when I intended to start doing the podcast. Now it's fucking climbing up on freaking 1,100 hours because I keep getting distracted by stuff. And yes, that includes playing Star Wars. But then other stuff, right? It's like, oh, wait, I got to do this. Oh, wait, I know I got to do that. Oh, shit, I need to do this thing over here. I have been up since 3:30 this morning. Woke up again, 3:30, wide awake. All right, there we go. Let's do this. You can scream and shout with all your might. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock is something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. And don't forget my friends and my enemies. The ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong and I am right. And the crowd goes wild. You hear them cheering. They're going, great one. Great one, would you please, please, please perform one of the songs from your hit album, 6 Feet from Christmas. Look, girls, let me explain to you. It's like sex. If you want it from me, you gotta pay for it, because the Great One doesn't fuck for free. The Great One also doesn't sing for free, but I'll give you a little taste. I'll give you a little something to, you know, get you all Twitter-pated and everything. Here we go. In the 12th month of lockdown, the state gave to me a decline to enjoy crashing GDP. I can't really do this with David Gilmour in the background. Money printer go burr! Stay at home mandates, rising rates of depression, unemployment payments, and 15 days. Yes, my friends, 15 days to flatten the curve. That's what it's going to take. 15 days, everything's going to be fine. I glanced at headlines this morning. It was just headlines. So I guess in England, they're clamping down more or something. And then I saw that other European countries are restricting flights to England. I didn't pay that much attention, so I can't really comment on it. But it's like, my God. And it's just so dystopian. So fucking dystopian. All right, look, here's what we're doing today. I have been going through my notes. I have this giant pile of paper, things that I want to talk about on the podcast. I've been going through my notes. And I got a pile of paper in front of me. And, you know, normally on this podcast, everything is very organized and well thought out and segues into each other. And everything in the episode is related. You know, how the podcast is normally structured really effectively and efficiently to maximize your listening pleasure. Well, today, I'm going to try to just blow through all these little things that... Oh, shit, I still have something I need. Hang on. Hold your horses there. Of course it's in the other room. This is how organized I am. So probably a foreshadowing of things to come. So anyhow, I got all these random pieces of paper with things scribbled on them. I'm just going to bounce from one to the other. There's going to be no transitions. I'm going to attempt not to tangent. I want to see how much of this stuff I can get knocked out, because I'm literally Hitler. Have got like 20 pieces of paper in front of me with all kinds of shit scribbled on them, some of them multiple things. Before I start, I got to tell you also, so Frank Cervi put a review of 6 Feet from Christmas on his website. I just saw it this morning. At first, I thought, I should read this on the podcast, but I can't. And I can't do it because It's so goddamn funny. Like, I literally Hitler, because it's got like an intro and then he does a review of each of the songs. I literally Hitler had to read like each section, like read the intro and then walk away from the computer and do something else for 5 minutes and then come back and read the review of the first song and walk away for 5 minutes because it's so fucking hilarious. And it's not just hilarious because it's about me. I mean, if you guys haven't read Frank Cervi's books, you should. The one that I still think is my favorite is Uncle Nick. Check it out. If you haven't read any of his stuff, that's the place to start. This book is absolutely... When I first got this book, I didn't really know what to expect. None of this has to do with what's written on my piece of paper. We're already tangenting. I got this book because I first heard about Frank and Uncle Nick on the Clary podcast. Somehow Clary was advertising it, right? And I knew about it for a long time. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then one day I finally decided, all right, let me buy this fucking book and see what this is about. It shows up and I sit down, I open it, I start reading it. And it's just like, holy fuck. Like, you can write this in a book and not be put into a re-education camp? It is so goddamn funny. Frank is a fucking hilarious writer. And his review of 6 Feet from Christmas is, it's devastatingly hilarious. I will put a link in the show notes unless I'm an idiot and I forget. So let me write down right now, because I have all this paper in front of me. My show notes should reflect all of this. Link to Frank's review. FrankCervi.com, in case I forget to put it in there. What are the odds I would forget to do something, right? Okay. Before I forget, let me also do this. In, I think it was the previous episode, I was talking about vitamin D. And I said that we'll talk about vitamin D some more. By the way, I'm still dead. My vitamin D levels in my blood are still toxic. I am still speaking to you from the other side. Where we do have hot tea, I'm drinking a mug of hot tea. So if you heard any slurping right there, that's what that was. I said that nobody is making the claim that vitamin D is some kind of miracle that's going to solve all your problems. I realized, no, actually they are, because everything out there attracts charlatans. And so if nobody is currently telling you that vitamin D is a miracle cure-all, they will be sometime within about the next 7 or 8 minutes. But you can ignore those people. So I kind of misspoke there. The other thing I got to tell you, see, like those transitions? So I talked about the fish. Where, God damn it. Can I just lose one more thing? Can I not have one more thing that I need? There it is. Oh, it's going to be one of those days. I told you about this fish that I was eating. So now I've never eaten sardines because I just smell them. It doesn't do anything for me. But I'm a huge fan of canned tuna. I just pop open a can of tuna and just eat a fucking can of tuna. I love that shit. If you like fishies, you need to try. It's from a company called Wild Planet. Yes, it's fucking, it's hippie. What does it say on here? Does it say anything? Non-BPA lining. They're a hippie company. It's organic and it says on here, wildly good for the planet, wildly good for you, wildly good taste. That's their wildly good promise. I can tell you this. It is fucking good tasting. It is wildly good. If this shit was not so expensive, these things are $4 a can. It's actually a 10 that comes in a cardboard box. It's $4 a pop. If they weren't that expensive, I would eat these with every fucking meal. You can get them on Amazon.com, but you have to buy them in boxes of 12. You can't get them individually. Wild Planet, they have different ones, obviously. This one is the Wild Mackerel Skinless and Boneless Fillets in Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Trust me on this. If you like fish, see if you can find one your local store to test it out. That's what I did. I managed to find, where'd I go that I found it? I think it was Sprouts. So I found it locally because I wasn't going to buy 12 of them at $4 a pop on Amazon.com and then find out that they sucked. Wild mackerel, skinless and boneless fillets in extra virgin olive oil from Wild Planet. Delicious. Highly recommended. Here's what's not recommended. Playing role-playing games anymore. Now, we know Cappy's talked about the Spurgs and all this. We know the role-playing people are Spurgs. They've turned into Spurgs. When I was your age, when I was a youngster, role-playing back in the military, and then after the military, and I've told plenty of role-playing stories before, I have to be careful not to start tangenting and start telling you stories about role-playing because it's a good time. We had a great time, man. I mean, yeah, the people I played with, some of them were a little on the nerd side, but none of them, you know, none of them had mental illnesses. None of them needed therapy. None of them were on medication. How do you know? Because I know. Because I just fucking know, all right? It was just normal people. All right. So I recently, I mentioned this, I'm pretty sure, I got this computer game, right, called Pathfinder Kingmaker, which is based on the Pathfinder role-playing system. All right, so now in the game, I'm looking at it, and my character can do this thing called meta magic. Now, I can't really figure out what meta magic is. I'm trying to figure out, you know, how it works and what to do with it. So, okay, so I'm looking around online, and it's like, well, I can't really figure it out. I'm not finding anything that's telling me what I want to know. And I think, well, you know, I wonder if any of these rule books are available through the library. Because believe it or not, libraries have, some of them have, role-playing game books. So I go digging around, and sure enough, there's some Pathfinder books available through the library. So I order some of them up, including the core rule book, which I have right here in front of me. It is 630 pages. 630 pages of rules to simulate reality, which you're surrounded by. You should know by now how reality works. If you need 630 pages to tell you how to simulate reality, there might be something wrong with you. All right, some of it's magic spells, sure. But goddamn, really? 600 pages? Now, here's the best part. Well, this is the second best part. The best part is coming. So there is a index. So I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out what meta magic is. So if I go to the index, I should be able to find meta magic. And it should tell me something useful. Actions with the metamagic trait, usually from metamagic feats, tweak the properties of your spells. You must use a metamagic action directly before casting the spell you want to alter. If you use any action, blah, 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 other than the spell directly, you waste it. Okay. But nowhere does it actually tell me how to fucking use this or how this works. And it claims that it's on page 304. Hey, there's my bookmark that I couldn't find. Right there by the picture of the cute elf. So you go to 304, and the thing about meta magic is a little box that says exactly the same thing that's in the index. Nowhere is there an explanation. I cannot figure out. The game tells me you have the ability to meta magic. Okay, well, how do I do it? What do I do? No one knows. But, so that's why I got the book, because I'm trying to figure out that one fucking thing. So I'm going through the book, and I'm mostly just paging through it, just kind of like glancing, because I'm not going to read 600 pages of rules and spells. I'm flipping through it, mostly looking at the pictures, but glancing at some things here. And they've got the little text box here and there, you know, with, you know, whatever, the little asides, the tangentings. All right, so over here. On page 323, just in case you're reading along. So a box that says magic and morality. See, while magic allows you to perform wondrous acts in the game, it can be used for terrible purposes. While some spells are obviously vile or have an evil trait and a direct connection to the profane, other spells can be used for good or ill. Using magic does not free you from the morality of the outcome. You know, unlike voting, where if you vote for somebody to steal money from someone else and then give it to you, the voting part frees you from the morality of the outcome because taxation is theft. Nowhere is this more true than when it comes to enchantment spells, especially those used to compel a character to do something. These spells can remove the power of choice from a character and can very easily be used in ways that are evil, such as when the government uses the threat of violence to compel you to pay taxes, which is a form of theft, and then redistribute your money to people who want to kill you. Dominating an ogre and forcing him to abandon his guard post is not necessarily evil, but using that same spell to force a merchant to give you all of his wares certainly is. However, using your power to elect politicians who pass laws that make certain activities or products illegal, that's totally okay. Using a spell for an evil purpose can cause a player's character alignment to shift to evil, with the ultimate judgment on whether a player is using a spell for an evil purpose left up to the GM. Now, here comes the money shot. Oh, that was just us having fun. Here comes the money shot. Regardless of in-game effects, all players should take care when using such spells. These effects can negatively affect people at the table, as they might create situations that echo truly awful experiences players might have had, creating uncomfortable or hostile environments. Because you see, this is because women cannot differentiate fantasy from reality. When men watch The Hunger Games, what we see is a pretty mediocre show with a chick in it who's, you know, a six on a good day. When women watch The Hunger Games, what they see is a documentary. Using a magic spell in a role-playing game to compel a character to do something they wouldn't otherwise do might create a situation which echoes the awful experiences the players might have had. Because some of the players at your role-playing game, somebody might have used a magic spell on them to compel them to do something they didn't want to do. Now, last time I checked, the only time people are compelled to do something they don't want to do is when that happens to them by the government. Taxation. Good example of that. There's plenty more. But this is how spurgy and traumatized the fucking role-playing game community has become. That we got to put disclaimers like this in the fucking book. God knows how many more there are in here like this because I haven't been like looking for them, but now I probably will. Just set that aside. I'm already setting things aside. Spurgs. Speaking of Spurgs, here we go. Linux. Linux Spurgs. Okay, so there's a thing in Linux. It's called the kernel. All operating systems, they have a fucking kernel. It's the first thing that loads before your operating system loads. It allows the software to communicate with the hardware. Okay, so the kernel in Linux is being taken over by fucking Spurgs and SJWs. Like, they got to get rid of the word master and slave. Because you have a master process and things that are slave. Oh, God, that's offensive. So we're getting rid of that. All right. So now I find out. I don't need to tell you the story. I found out now the latest version of the kernels, they've taken out the scroll back buffer. Because when you log in, you're at the terminal, you're not at the fucking GUI, you don't have any windows and shit, no mouse action, you're just looking at that black screen where you type in the word commands. You used to be able to scroll back up to see things that had rolled off the screen. Well, now apparently somebody involved with the fucking Linux kernel decided we don't need a scroll back buffer, so we're going to go ahead and get rid of that. Because Spurgs can't use a fucking command line. They do everything from a GUI, and now they're going to fucking punish the rest of us. Thank you, fucking assholes. Speaking of computer people, I'd like to punish the rest of us. I fucked around some more with Odyssey. For the most part, it seems to be pretty decent. But you know what? You still can't get a fucking thumbnail for your video consistently. They got a thing where you're supposed to be able to upload a goddamn image. I'm trying to upload an image. It doesn't work. I go looking for their tech support. Their tech support, well, join us on Discord. No, I don't want to fucking join you on Discord. I don't want to create a goddamn Discord login just to ask you a question about your fucking goddamn platform that doesn't work. So then there's an email. So I send an email to the address. I say, hey, you know, this video, the thumbnail uploader is not working. And the guy writes me back, well, we've been having some outages. Try again later. I'm like, okay, but I tried this yesterday. Are you telling me the shit's been out since yesterday? So it's like, all right, God damn it. They're almost kind of sort of there, but not really. Because they're Spurgs. Because making a thumbnail, because uploading an image. Guys, it's uploading an image. It's literally Hitler uploading an image. It's like one of the first things that was ever done on the internet. Because after a couple of emails were sent, one guy said to another, hey, I got this picture of this naked chick. Is there any way I can send that to you through email? And the other guy said, well, how hot is she? The guy said, she's pretty fucking hot. I mean, I'd give her like a solid 8.5. And the dude said, give me 7 minutes. I'll fucking code away for you to send me that picture. So the first thing that happened on the internet was sending emails. The second thing that happened on the internet was sending emails that had pictures of girls attached to them. It's uploading a fucking photo to the fucking internet. And Odyssey can't fucking figure that out. Guys, can we get the fucking basics down before we start talking shit about how good we are? Now, let me say this about Odyssey. Positive things. I've uploaded some videos. The process is pretty smooth. It's easy to figure out. I mean, like the whole uploading a video and putting information on it, and you can tag it, you know, you put your text underneath it. Everything in that whole process went really fucking well, except for the goddamn thumbnail. If they ironed that out, the video uploading process and posting process is actually pretty fucking good. Streamlined, fast, efficient. Everything's on one goddamn page. The other good thing I'm going to say about Odyssey is that you can create multiple channels. And this doesn't mean like YouTube. Well, you can do it on YouTube. Yes, if you have multiple email accounts. You have multiple Google accounts. I mean, unless this has changed, I haven't fucked with YouTube that much lately, so I could be wrong about this. But as far as I know, like if you've got, you know, bob@gmail.com, okay, you can have a YouTube channel. But if you wanted a different YouTube channel, not a playlist, okay, but a completely different channel, you'd have to go get alice@gmail.com or whatever, right? With Odyssey, you have your user login, but then you can create different channels, which are completely separate channels from each other. So I got the one channel for Cynical Libertarian Society videos, and I created another channel for whenever I get around to doing it and get the time. I don't know when I'm going to get the time for this. I really want to do this because it's going to be fun. But unfortunately, fun is not the highest priority right now. Fun is a high priority, but not the highest priority. And then there's different kinds of fun because playing Star Wars is more fun. But what I want to do is edit and post some videos of the gameplay and things like that. And also just funny stuff. And I've told you guys there's some hilarious red pill moments in here. I got these recorded. So anyway, I want to edit and put these videos up. And so I've created a channel specifically for the Star Wars videos where there won't be any Cynical Libertarian Society stuff. There will just be the Star Wars. So that's a very cool feature. I like that a lot. So Odyssey, if you could just fix your fucking thumbnail, we'll get along a hell of a lot better. I scratching that out. I do not need to tell you again about the album 6 Feet from Christmas, because we already talked about 6 Feet from Christmas. But if you haven't ordered that already, you should order it, because it's going to help you get through the holidays as you're surrounded by muzzle Wuhan idiots. I'm going to tell you about Richard Turner. Richard Turner, if you Google him, you should be able to find it. I watched a documentary about him, which, of course, I can't remember the name of it. The fuck is the name of that? Delt. Is that right? Delt? I think it's Delt, as in dealing cards. So Richard Turner is a card mechanic. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got videos of himself there. Go take a look at it. I could try to describe it to you. Watch the one where he is on the Penn and Teller show. The guy is fucking amazing. He can deal cards, like whatever card you tell him. He can deal whatever the fuck you want. He can deal like six hands, poker hands, and deal to one guy four kings after somebody else has shuffled the deck. He explains it. He's not a magician. He's a mechanic. And apparently this is a real term for this. There's a difference between card magicians and card mechanics. And I think part of it is that card mechanic is working with actual real decks of cards and is doing things that you would do to cheat at poker or something. So the guy is stunningly fucking talented. And the even more bizarre thing is that he is totally blind. He's blind. He cannot see. And yet he can take a deck of cards. So here's the thing. So I'm watching the documentary about him, right? And I'm trying to figure out, how in the hell can he do this? And so the first thing I thought is that every once in a while he's doing his performances, he'll take the deck of cards he's got and he sets it aside and he'll get a new deck of cards and he'll open it up and he'll pull the deck of cards out of the box, right? And then he starts doing his stuff. And he'll do things like he'll take this deck of cards and right there in front of you, he'll shuffle the cards and then he'll cut the cards and he shuffles and he cuts some more and then he shuffles and he does like a three split cut or whatever the hell it's called. He does all this shit. And then he'll say, now, because he always has some people sitting on each side of him from the audience to help him out, to do things, right, to interact with. And he'll say to them, so these cards, these are mixed up, right? And they're like, oh yeah. And he flips the cards over and he spreads them out and they're all in perfect order. From ace to king, ace to king, ace to king, ace to king. Even though you've been sitting here watching him, and yes, it's on TV. Of course, we know that anything on television could be fake, but let's assume that there's no CGI trickery and there's no cuts or anything like that, that we're seeing what he's actually doing, which I think we are. He's shuffling these cards multiple times and they end up back in the exact correct order. So I'm looking at the things he does. Like dealing a hand, dealing six poker hands and one of them gets six kings. It's like, okay, he's got to be able to track the location of all 52 cards by feel, because he can't see what the cards are. And they're cards coming out of a box. They're not marked. They have Braille or any shit like that. So I'm figuring that's got to be what he's doing. He's right. Okay. So then in the Penn and Teller video, it's on his YouTube channel. He takes the cards and he's doing his thing and he sends the cards over to Teller and he says, Teller, shuffle the cards up, just mix them all up. And so Teller, he's got this pile of cards and he just shoves them all around in front of him and mixes them all together and puts them back in a stack and hands them back to Richard. And then Richard deals out these poker hands and you flip it over and one of the poker hands has four kings or whatever it is. So it's like, okay, there's no way he's tracking what card was where because someone else mixed the cards up. So can he actually tell? Because I don't know any other way to do this. This is why I give you this long-winded explanation in the podcast that's supposed to be me banging through a bunch of stuff. How the fuck does he know? Can he actually, by feel, tell the difference between a king of spades and a seven of hearts. And you can say, well, maybe he's not really blind. Maybe he's faking it. Okay, but even if he was faking being blind, I mean, the cards are all face down. They're mixed up. They're handed back to him. I still don't know how the fuck he would know where a king was at without looking at the faces. Richard Turner. Go look for his YouTube channel. Watch the documentary. It's pretty fucking amazing. Speaking of things that are not amazing, watch two more John Wayne movies. The Green Berets. Not a good movie. It's a propaganda movie. The Green Berets was a pro-Vietnam War propaganda movie, and it is very obviously a pro-Vietnam War propaganda movie. It was painfully, obviously, a propaganda movie. I cannot recommend it. Also watched They Were Expendable, John Wayne World War II war movie. He's in the Navy, PT boats. I would say this movie is a good example of a solid 5 when it comes to movies. You're never going to want to watch it again. It got a couple of little slow moments, but overall, it's pretty good, and it's just good enough. It's just right there. It could give you a nice, entertaining, I think it's like 2 hours to 15 minutes long. Give you a nice, entertaining 2 hours. It's not going to blow you away, but it's got some great moments. It's got some good acting. Worth looking into. All right, what do I got here? Oh, fuck this. All right. I'm pretty sure I talked about all this on the podcast. You know that I've lived here about a year and a half. Since I moved in, the dishwasher that was here when I moved in, took a shit. So I got a new dishwasher. Then my internet modem that I had had for the previous 19 plus years, I was having some problems with the internet. So I called the company up. And they're like, oh, that modem is really old. It's not supported anymore. I'm like, okay, we're going to send you a new modem. I'm okay. I mean, this one still works, but they sent me a new modem. So I took the old one, this 19 years old plus, that still works, put it in a box. I still have it. So they sent me a new modem. Okay, so I got a dishwasher that's less than a year and a half year. God, I got a dishwasher that's less than a year and a half old. I got a internet modem. My brain's not here today. Brain's not here yet. I got an internet modem that's less than a year and a half old. The dishwasher takes a shit. It's been fixed now, so I know it's wrong. One of the motors underneath it that pushes the water around took a shit. The internet modem took a shit. The wireless transmitter on it has died. So I still have internet as long as I'm cabled, but the Wi-Fi is non-functional. Insert generic speech here about how they don't make shit like they used to. Because I don't need to give you the speech because you've heard it. Meanwhile, right outside, there's a $500 pickup truck that was built in the 1990s that has 200,000 miles on it that works just fucking fine. But a fucking dishwasher motor cannot fucking make it for a year and a half. A motor on a fucking dishwasher will not make it a year and a half. A fucking transmitter on a fucking internet modem will not make it a year and a half. Speaking of role playing, let's go back to this because we got to talk about Spurgs. Back when I did role playing, you know, back in the manly days of role playing, back before it was filled with people who are fucking snowflakes and need trigger warnings because somebody might use a magic spell that will remind them of traumatic events in their life. When I was role playing and we were doing Dungeons and Dragons, which I played first time ever in the military, so with a bunch of other army guys, so you can imagine how that went. We're all infantry soldiers playing Dungeons and Dragons, and we used infantry tactics. Okay, so basically, you got fighters, which includes paladins and barbarians. Okay, you got archers, which includes rangers, and then you got magic users, which includes spellcasters and clerics. Nothing against clerics, I'm just not a fan of clerics. I typically play spellcasters. That's most of my D&D type characters are spellcasters that can shoot a bow and arrow so that they can defend themselves from a distance if they have to. And that's pretty much it. Hold on, is it in here? Because I've read a couple of these Pathfinder books. Not read, looked at them. Let me see if it's in here. It is. So, I mean, now, is there a handy fucking list? Is there going to be a list? So now we've got, I mean, this isn't really that bad until we get, this can't be the whole list. No, it is. All right. There's more than that, because in the other supplemental books. Here's the important part. Great one. Get to the point. Nowadays, you have these weird fucking classes, and of all the weird classes, like there's alchemist and, all right, is this one. The bard. My friend Rachel, who I talk about, she's in a Dungeons and Dragons group now. She got into it about a year ago or so. I'm jealous that she's role-playing and I'm not. But then again, they're all spurgs. Because here's the thing. Her character is a bard. She's telling me, yeah, it's so awesome. I can sing a song and it gives everybody a +2 to their constitution while I'm singing or some shit like that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, can you take a sword and hit anything? Because I don't need a fucking +2 to my constitution. You know what I need? I need someone who can swing a fucking sword and knock the shit out of whatever's attacking us. That's what I fucking need. If I was fucking role-playing a character with a goddamn bard, we'd go into combat, I'd grab the fucking bard and hold him in front of me as a fucking meat shield. And God forbid, dude, because Rachel is married, right? Dude, if I went to a role-playing session with my wife, it's like, all right, we're going to create our characters. And she's like, I'm going to create a bard. I'm like, no, you're not. Well, no, I want to play a bard. I'm like, no, no, no. You are not playing a bard. Well, but I don't care what you think. You are not playing a bard. It's like, if you were to play a bard, when we got home, I would beat the shit out of you and I would show you what spouse abuse looks like. And then you would be too traumatized to ever role play again. But that's not going to happen. There is a 0% chance. 0% chance that I, your husband, am going to beat your ass for playing a bard in Dungeons and Dragons. Do you know why there's a 0% chance that's going to happen? Because you're not playing a fucking bard, okay? It's not happening. And if I was a game master and some motherfucker showed up and wanted to play a bard, I'd be, are you sure about that? Yeah, okay, great. That character would not live through the first 60 minutes of the game. I would fucking kill that character so goddamn fast. No, there will be no fucking bards. Okay? This is not a therapy session. We're not going to fucking put trigger warnings on our magic spells because it might remind you of the trauma in your life. Our characters are not going to have weird fucking pronouns. Okay? Your character's pronouns are going to be the same as their fucking, do they have a penis or do they have a vagina? That's your fucking pronoun. You're not going to have any weird pronoun shit. And we are absolutely, positively, 100% not going to have any goddamn bards. And by the way, since we're talking about role-playing games, you may have seen this one. Somebody now out there got their fucking panties in a wad because apparently the orcs in Dungeons and Dragons, they decided that the orcs are representative of black people. and it's racist. And I'm reading that, and this is like this stunning, oh my God, the orcs, they're black people, see? Because they're really muscular, and they're low intelligence, and they have dark skin. They're black people. Oh my God, I'm so offended. And people are going, no, they're not. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, people, can we please find our ball sacks? Of course the orcs are the fucking Dungeons and Dragons version of black people. This is not a goddamn secret. And if you're sitting here, first, so if you're pretending that the orcs are not the D&D black people, you're a fucking idiot. And if you're getting offended by it, you're still a fucking idiot. Okay? Yes, the orcs are large and muscular. They have lower intelligence, and they're more fucking violent. And they have dark skin. None of this is a coincidence. It's not racist, it's just true. The elves are representative of white Europeans. Good looking, white, intelligent. I'm serious. If you read somewhere on the internet that the orcs in Dungeons and Dragons are supposed to be black people and you didn't already know this, you're a dumbass. Yes, that's exactly what the fuck they are. What is this? I want to talk about that. I don't actually think I want to talk about that. I want to hang on to that one. So I'm hanging out with Bob and Alice. Here's Bob and Alice stories. Alice and Bob stories. Okay, let's do these because these all kind of segue together. So first of all, we have our mutual friend, Cindy. Cindy, I've talked about her before. Cindy is the one who cannot eat any food because she's got that disease, coeliophilia, or whatever it is. Basically, she's allergic to everything in existence. And of course, she's terrified of the fucking Wuhan. So Bob and Cindy, out of the group, Bob and Cindy are the ones who are the best friends. They spend the most time. Cindy and I hardly ever see each other. I used to like Cindy, but then she's made this descent into complete fucking left-wing wackoism. Oh, hang on. I got to write this down so I don't forget, because that's another story about her. Okay, so Cindy, she's allergic to all food in the world. She's terrified of Wuhan. So Bob is saying, Cindy, why don't you come over to my house? You can hang out. She says, well, I'll come over, but you have to wear a muzzle, and I'm going to wear a muzzle, and I'm going to wear a face shield, and we have to stay at least 8 feet apart. Bob said, well, you can come over. I'm not going to wear a muzzle. You can wear a muzzle and a face shield. We'll still stay 8 feet apart. I'm totally fine with that. She would not do it. And not even indoors. This is outdoors. This was back during the summer. That's how old the story is. She would not do that. Okay? She would not come to the home of one of her best friends. Doesn't have to go in the house because you can walk around the house to the backyard where the patio is, sit out on the patio, 8 feet away from him, upwind even, wearing a muzzle and a face shield. She would not do that because she was afraid of the Wuhan. However, do you know what she will do? She drove to Denver to go to a BLM protest. And she goes door to door canvassing for her political party that she's joined, which I believe is called the People's Party. I looked it up. They have a website. There's not a lot there, but it basically has their demands. It's exactly what you would expect from a political party that calls itself the People's Party. Fight for 15, tax rich people, free health care, free college. So she will not come to Bob's house and socialize with him, but she will go door to door, knocking on people's doors, handing them propaganda, trying to get them to vote for the People's Party. Those of you who believe in the Wuhan, you are mentally disabled. Mentally disabled. Speaking of disabled people, so Alice, my other friend from the group, right? Alice, Bob, and Cindy. Alice, oh my God, I got to tell you guys about that too. All right, hold on. We're not going to talk about Wuhan, but we are, because it's all the Alice, Bob, Cindy stories. All right, So Alice, this was back at Columbus Day. We're sitting around talking, and Alice announces that Columbus is stupid. Now, Alice has a fucking PhD. She is a scientist, right? Which means she does like make work job for the university. She works at CSU. Yeah, she technically, what she does is scientific research, but it's not like curing cancer or, you know, figuring out how to get rid of the Jews or anything useful. It's, you know, looking at the genome of some plant that no one cares about. And no, it's not going to lead to some fucking medical breakthrough that's going to fucking cure cancer. Because even if it did, if the pharmaceutical corporations can't make money off of it, they're just going to squash it. Kind of like, I don't know, having healthy levels of vitamin D is being told, you're being told that that's a fucking conspiracy theory. So Alice announces that Columbus was stupid. That's the word she used, stupid. Stupid, because see, he didn't know where he was. He thought he was in India, and he wasn't even on India. He's so stupid. And I thought to myself, hold on, you're walking around with a piece of fucking cloth over your face because you think that makes you immune to viruses. Columbus went to the crown, talked them into giving him a shit ton of money to go sailing into the ocean. He then sailed across the ocean on a boat made out of wood that was driven by wind blowing some sheets. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have any motors. He had no fucking clue where he was going other than that way. And he got across the ocean, found some land, did some shit, got back, and went back again. He's stupid. He's stupid. You are walking around with a piece of cloth on your face because you think it makes you immune to viruses. But Columbus is stupid. And these are my friends. Okay, these are the intelligent people that I've managed to find here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. This is why I got to get the fuck out of here. Yes, I know. Wherever else I go, there's going to be stupid people there too. I know that. Thank you. The grass was always greener. No, it's just a different shade of green. Yes, there will be stupid people there also. But number one, I won't know about it until I find out about how this period of bliss where I think I'm free from stupidity, and at least the stupidity will be different. It'll be a different stupidity. Okay, now, so she works at Alice. She works at CSU, right? She does research, blah, blah, blah. They're still going in. So remember, I told you guys about the CSU, the way they're testing for the Wuhan with the students. Well, they're not doing it now because there's no students on campus. So I assume they're not doing it now, is they were testing the sewage. And we talked about how they tested the sewage from those two dorms and they found the Wuhan in the sewage. So they locked it down, quote unquote, locked down those two dorms. They told the students, you can't leave the dorm, even though some students actually did because it wasn't a lockdown. Just, you know, to be clear, it wasn't a lockdown in the sense that they locked the doors and posted guards. They just told the students, don't leave. Some of the students said, I'm going to fucking leave. See you. So here's what they're doing now at CSU with the employer. Remember, this is a college. This is a university. This is a higher education. This is what they're doing with the employees in Alice's department at CSU. You have to be tested periodically. I don't remember how often she said they have to do this. I want to say, I could be full of shit here. I want to say that it's every day that you go into work. Because she doesn't go to work 5 days a week. She doesn't really need to, and she's on salary. Yeah, I mean, the fact that she doesn't go to, it's like your job is not, you're not doing anything that's necessary. I love the girl, but she's not doing, we have to be honest, okay? I love Rachel, but if she played a bard in my game, I would slap the shit out of her, okay? I love Alice, but Her job is just make work. She is doing nothing that anyone gives a shit about. It's never going to contribute to anything. I think it's every day they go to work, but I could be wrong about that part. Here's the part I'm not wrong about. They're testing everybody for Wuhan. The testing process is this. You have to submit a spit sample. They take 10 people's spit samples. They mix them together and they test that. So thus, if they find the Wuhan in the spit sample, they don't know which of the 10 people it came from. And this is brilliant because see, what happens now is all 10 people have to quarantine at home and have to submit to the nostril test until it's determined which person actually has the Wuhan. Now, do you know any other disease? Like, we're going to test people for cancer. Do you get 10 people and draw their blood and mix it together and test it? I don't know, like if you're going to test people for drug use, say you live in a state where it's still illegal to smoke dope. So you get 10 people to piss in bottles and then you mix 10 people's piss together and you test that for marijuana. Do you know of any disease to HIV, the fuck our favorite because only fags get it. And so it's the only disease that has rights. So if you're going to test for HIV, do you get 10 homosexuals and get them all to jerk off and then you mix the cum together and then you test the cum for HIV? Is there any disease in existence that is tested for with this methodology? And we know why this is being done. Because it, again, it creates fear. It creates a situation of control. So now there, you got, if you test everybody individually, you got one person being quarantined at home. If you do it this way, now you're quarantining 10 people at home and you're scaring 10 people because they don't know, do I have the Wuhan or not? It's magnifying the problem to make it look worse than it is to keep everybody afraid. When she told me that, my mind is blown. I mean, this is why I got to get the fuck out of Fort Collins. And I got more Fort Collins Wuhan stuff that I got to talk. My God, oh my goodness. I'm going to save it for the fucking Wuhan podcast. But I mean, that's the kind of shit. And this is a fucking university. This is higher learning. This is my educated people, my edumacation, my smart people. This is what they think is a fucking good idea. This shit is terrifying. No, it's not an opinion. Fact that this is stupid. I do not bother with the other side.